We want to carry on celebrating and praising God for what He has been doing in our midst prior to my time coming, but also during the time here. And this morning we have three more that would like to share testimony, so I'll have Lee start us off.
Good morning, church. So I'm going to celebrate on behalf of the Transitional Committee. So the Transitional Committee would like to celebrate unanswered prayers over the past 19 months. We would like to thank Pastor Todd for all the visits that he made throughout his time here. And I know he asked me not to recognize him again because it's been recognized before, but I told him recognition needs to go where it's deserved, and he has deserved all the recognition he has been given. So thank you again for all that visiting with people at home, Todd. We would also like to thank each individual member of the Transitional Committee for stepping out of their comfort zones and phoning everybody in the congregation. I believe everybody was on a list so that they would be getting phone calls. And over the past, year and a half, I guess, about, we have been making those phone calls, and we've been asking for your guys' opinions, we've been asking for your prayers, requests, and we've been bringing them back to the Transitional Committee and praying for each and every one of you and voicing your concerns and your thoughts. So thank you for every member of the Transitional Committee, and thank you guys for participating with us. We are thankful for the increased communication that we have gained over the past year and a half. And a special thanks goes out to Haley for putting her time into communicating through to the congregation through the bulletin and through morning announcements. We are thankful that we came up with a code of conduct for our meetings. I think it took us a few tries, but we realized that we needed to come up with something like that, and we adjusted, and I think it's been a blessing. So we're just thankful to God that He steered us in that direction and that we could communicate to each other in tough times, but we could be clearly communicating and politely communicating. We'd like to thank the volunteers. We've had an increased number of volunteers over the past months. And this is something that we spent time in prayer on. You can see it on the little notes that we had in the gym. Volunteering was needed, and our answers were met. It's been a great blessing, and there are more people involved with different events and things happening around the church. So thank you for the volunteers. The team commitment from the Transitional Committee, there's been a few members that have stood up here and did sermons, so thank you, Haley and Don and Will, for your preaching. Discussion time, Karen has put a lot of time in leading through some congregational meetings and just with the wholeness through Christ, so Karen, we thank you for that. There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. We'd like to thank the members that have participated in some of the events that we did in our meetings. So each member has played a role in a certain different area, and we're thankful for that. There have been a lot of answered prayers through our family ministries. I think the family ministries mission group has some pretty exciting things coming down the line, and we're just so thankful that we've had these ideas put in our heads and that we're going to move forward with them. We are so thankful that prayers have been answered, so that from April to November we have a couple people coming in to do preaching from those months, so that's a huge weight off of the shoulders of the elders and the people that are in line with that. So that is an amazing, amazing prayer that has been answered. So we're so thankful for this. Our new vision and missions, moving forward as a congregation, we are moving forward with everyone's voice heard. So if you stuck around through those meetings in the gym and potlucks and filled out your sticky notes, your voice has been heard, and we're so thankful for you for doing that. Again, I'll go back to the Wholeness Through Christ weekend. It was a huge success, and we would like to thank everyone who helped set that up. We're looking forward to doing more of these in the future. We took some time as a church to go through repentance, forgiveness, and reconciliation. We had a few different people preach on that, and it was definitely something that needed to happen in this church, and I'm so thankful that it was brought forward and that we moved through it together as a congregation. Learning to deal with struggles and how to work through these tough times has taught us individually the sacrifices that we need to make as individuals. We need to sacrifice some of our own feelings in order to better other people's thoughts and opinions. The love that we see in this community and this church, we can see that every Sunday through the children that come up forward in front of us. We pray for the children, and it's just such a blessing to have that in this church. It's such a blessing to have kids excited about Jesus. So we're so inspired with their love. We have spent time in prayer, and we are so thankful that God has brought us to where we are. Praise God.
Good morning, everyone. I've been asked to give a summary praise report for the work that was done during our transition time, particularly related to forgiveness, reconciliation, and the Wholeness Through Christ weekend retreat at our church. I want to start by going back a bit to before our transition time. I've been here personally 30 years, and in all that time, I have seen many people come and go, many ministries and programs come and go, but mostly I've seen a desire for us to do more, and a hunger to experience God more. We've really tried, and at times I think we've done some great things, but there's been a consistent struggle over the years of feeling stuck and not just getting to where we think we should be. There's been a consistent sense of lack, of not quite making the mark, and there's always been division over many things, and they're important things like worship, building a new church, hiring of and letting go of pastors, etc. COVID accentuated many of those divisions. So trying to transition this past year and a half also did much of the same. There's been much prayer over the years with the hope of change. It's been very hard to wait for the Lord's timing in this. Sometimes we've wanted to give up. Some have wanted to leave, and some have actually left. It's been painful and disheartening. Sometimes we've tried to fix things, and often we've gotten in the Lord's way with our own agendas and our desire to make things happen on our own. I believe the Lord has allowed it all to bring us to a place where the enemy in the midst has finally been exposed. Someone received a picture of this place many years ago. We were to be a beacon of light on a hill to everyone in this community. Yet as we moved into this transition time of change and hope for healing, the pictures received by some of the Wholeness Through Christ intercessors for our church were quite different. One said, "When I prayed for your role at the church just now, I had a picture of God giving the church a gentle shake, then sweeping away the debris that fell out, then another gentle shake and sweeping. That tells me the Lord has his hand on your church." From another intercessor, "When I got the prayer request for your church, I immediately saw a centrifuge. All that was not needed was thrown out from the center, and Jesus is left standing there, holding on to what he desires. Sounds good, but no time frame, so it could be messy for a while." I don't know about all the rest of you, but that sounds pretty spot on to me. It may have started as a gentle shake, but we entered that centrifuge pretty quickly, and it has been very messy indeed. It has been really hard, but what I have seen over this past year and a half has been an intentional desire as a result of this to seek God first. As part of the transition team, I've had the privilege to participate with others in doing some teaching on forgiveness and reconciliation. As a body, we've tried to practice those principles. It wasn't easy, and yet we did make some progress. We've not done it perfectly. In fact, sometimes we've not been good at it at all. But we are learning and practicing, and for that, I love the verse that says, "Love covers over a multitude of sins." We are practicing grace and mercy, and we aren't always good at that either, but we're trying. Last fall, Wholeness Through Christ Ministry was invited to come to our church for a prayer weekend. And part of that invitation came from that continued sense of stuckness and still struggling to find our way. After much prayer, it was decided that we would spend some time in prayer over Zoom prior to the weekend retreat to try to clear some ground in the spiritual sense. Several men and women were invited to be a part of that prayer time, and yet the Lord set it up that it would only be the elders, Karen O'Hash from Wholeness, and myself, that would, as Karen O said, loosen the spiritual soil for the congregation for the weekend retreat. As we came together for what ended up being three to four hour Zoom sessions in a week, Karen O asked us what we hoped for. All our answers varied, but the desire for our church was to find our value and a heart change, a desire for healing, and to break bondages, but mostly the question was how? How do we do this? As we learned in some of our earlier monthly congregational meetings, we reviewed the four quadrants and the need to pray through our sin by repenting of that sin, reactive or otherwise, to forgive those that have wounded us, and to give that pain to the Lord. We walked through how that sin can turn into footholds and bondages in our lives. Things that we just can't seem to get out from under, and how those same things can turn into strongholds, ways the enemy keeps us stuck and unfruitful. We remembered that even though some of these things might resonate for each of us personally, that they might also extend to the church as a whole. And so like Daniel in Daniel 9, we could stand in the gap and confess on behalf of ourselves, but also on behalf of the people of our church body. Sheila, one of our elders, had spent the summer prior to this event preparing a history document for our church. We recognized that there had been much good fruit in our church body over the years, but as we reviewed this document, we also saw some patterns and some bad fruit that had been there from the beginning. We knew in a way that our church had become a war zone over this past year, but also even prior, during the offenses of COVID and otherwise. We had moved into camps, those for and against. We had identity issues. Who are we as a church? Who is God, and what is our purpose? Our church had initially started from four outposts that eventually became Ponoka First Baptist Church, but they brought with them a poverty mentality of never enough, and one of those outposts actually denied the Holy Spirit and believed in the cessation or discontinuation of the gifts. There was miscommunication that resulted in a critical spirit. There was offense and unbelief. There were personal agendas, pride in numbers, and even financial gain in numbers. There was fear of many things, but especially of man, and a desire to please everyone else more than God. There was a sense of fight or flight whenever there were conflicts, and there was a disrespect of leadership. As we reviewed this history document, we began to see the patterns, and as a result, we prayed through three very distinct roots in our church history that have been and still are in some ways manifesting in our church today. We prayed through our Baptist roots on behalf of our church body, but also both the Canadian and global Baptists. We prayed through our Masonic roots, Masonic being a false religion that comes from man's understanding, and how those roots had infiltrated and contaminated our church. And we prayed through our poverty roots, and that's not just about money and resources, but our poverty of relationships with God and with one another. There was a power move by the enemy that brought in sexual sin, secrecy, resulted deception and lies, division and shame, broken marriages, sickness and death. We lost our first love and have forgotten our way. We prayed for those who have left, that they too would find their first love again. We prayed about our spiritual separation, that we didn't recognize how big God is. We prayed through legalism, perfectionism, and the seduction of others, where God's image was damaged by his body, us. We prayed about our idolatry of self, control and blame, self-sufficiency, self-protection, self-preservation, and the idolatry of positions and buildings. We prayed about our need for performance, the form of it, but no love, and our expectations. We prayed about our poverty of life in the church and the wounds that has caused, poverty of love, relationships, marriages, spiritual poverty, COVID, faith, finances, worship, and that desire for reckless abandonment in our worship that we couldn't seem to get to, and especially our poverty of the Holy Spirit and all the gifts. We realized we had lost our first love, that it had become the spoke, not the hub of the wheel. We recognized the bondage of ownership to this church, his church, and confessed our own agendas and forgave others for theirs. We renounced the curse of blame that someone has to pay. We spoke life to our church that we would be restored to the fullness of life, emotions, freedom to worship, speak truth and love, good teaching, and that we could be a refuge in the community. As we were praying, Karen O kept putting stickies on our four quadrants page, and someone said it looked covered as in a swarm of locusts, and that we were in a vicious cycle that needed to be broken. So then we claimed Joel 2:25. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. We went on to our weekend retreat and prayed both personally on Friday night, but also collectively on Saturday. We broke into six groups and continued to pray through the patterns of brokenness in our body. The themes that continued to come out were loss of our first love and denial of the Holy Spirit. Identity was also a major theme. There was a unity and depth to the prayers that Karen O expressed that she felt was a direct result of the prep work done by the elders in those prayers, and so I thank them for their courage to pray as they did on behalf of this body. There was an excitement and a vision that I believe we need to fan the flames of. As we continue to move as a church into a new season with a new vision and mission and goals that we are setting as a congregation, as we listen and make plans for a new pastor, my prayer is that we will come together in unity and stand on what has been prayed. These prayers are for naught if we don't stand together and follow the Lord's leading in all of this. I've had the privilege of spending 2 weeks with the mission team visiting our missionaries in Bolivia. We left with the hope and prayer that they might have something to teach us, since we have realized this past year how much we really still need to learn. One of the things that we each one found so amazing was how hospitable the people and the churches were to us. You may have got to practice the traditional Bolivian greeting this morning. Imagine the eight of us going to several different churches, being welcomed and called to stand up front so that every member of each of the churches could line up and shake our hands like that or give us a kiss on both cheeks. There's something so beautifully humbling and loving to be welcomed that way. There may be something for us to learn in that example. To close, I'll share the final prayer Karen O prayed for us in her final report. Keep your shields of faith joined as you persevere in prayer. Be mindful of your armor. Don't let the lies of the enemy or the flesh infect your minds. Don't let the darts of the enemy wound your hearts. Keep your belts of truth firmly cinched and your sandals of the gospel of peace securely fastened. Your sword of the Spirit and mantle of prayer and praise are powerful weapons. Remember GPS, God's power supply, and all the tools he gives us. blessings as you move forward into the new things the Lord has prepared in advance for you. Thank you.
Okay, I've been given 5 to 10 minutes, so bear with me. It won't take that long. My name is Robert Edwards. I'm your property deacon. I'd like to take a few minutes just to express what I've experienced with the body in the last 18 to 20 months. I'm going to go through point form. So transition, pastoral change is tough. We've been through it a few times. I don't want to get into the dirty of all this, but I do want to give my observations from what I've experienced through the body, myself, and through other people. I've been attending here for roughly 8 years. One thing I've noticed, myself and talking with others, is the teaching. The last 2 years, I felt that the teaching has dwindled and become more of a documentation on the life of or whatever. The scriptures, so getting into the scripture, I noticed or I felt was a little bit difficult at the best. We all have opinions on what the verses mean rather than what they actually say. Culture and custom seem to be a normal topic on how to interpret what we're reading. Community outreach, what I found was minimal at best. A couple of programs were running, like Life 360, Ladies Prayer and Stepping Stones. Quite a few ladies would have loved to attend it, but it was midday. So I don't know if that was an issue or not, but it seemed like it. Fellowship, to me, seemed to be a lot of different opinions between the members and seemed to be a little bit far off from each other and not a fitly jointed body, but one that had been sick and disunified for quite some time. So not to put any blame anywhere, but I believe that we all have had a disunity, a hand in disunity at this time. We lost our one focus and our single eye and become fixated on many little focuses and clouded with what a body really should be. So skipping ahead to today. See, on teaching, small groups have started up and are into opening and discussing just what is written and the application in your walk as a believer, which is awesome. Scripture has been actively discussed by what it says, with a minimal addition to culture and customs. Interpretation is being brought back to what is actually written. In short, the body as a whole has returned to the sure foundation on the words and is standing on what they see written. Community outreach, many new programs, and some of the older ones are still running too. Life 360, Ladies Bible Study, Youth 180, Neighbors Table, inviting your neighbors, just to name a few, and talking with the folks and the fellows that you meet. Fellowship, seems to me that the body has grown stronger together, easier to talk amongst another. There's joking and serious talks. People seem to be more connected and open with each other. A side note, just for myself, I myself have been invited out for more coffees and talks and chats in the last 2 months than in the last 2 years, which is, I found that very exciting. Our study groups are open and honest on life issues and are strongly connected. I found that. Anybody who's in my groups would know that. We have an open table. Anything can be talked about and discussed, which is awesome. I'm going to point you back to our new vision. We have a new vision and mission. If you haven't read it, it's in the back of your bulletin. Please read it. Memorize it if you can. It's awesome. In closing of that one, a lot of things have changed. I believe they've changed for the good. I've also been asked to give a little bit of a blip on the polity team and what was going on. So a team was put together to look at the polity in our constitution. And if I miss your name, let me know. So Lynn Houcher, Don Froh, Steve Marois, myself, and Sheila Pateman. So polity is recognized as a group of people organized for governance. Our constitution was a little bit confusing. know what that says, but a little bit confusing, and the working with the elders, deacons, staff, pastor, and congregation, I found a little bit confusing and not really sure where to go. Our goal or our objective was to clear this up biblically. At the time, we held elders and deacons about the same level, or in some cases actually versed in authority, and saw the pastor as the top end all of everything. So we met and discussed a lot, for a lot of hours, sir. I believe Steve Marois tallied it up, and it's a lot of hours. We spent time searching scripture, prayer, and clarifying roles of each part. We had a number of meetings with the elders and deacons on what we were clarifying. Some went well, some didn't go too well. That's a different topic. We can discuss that later if you want. You can come and see me. We can talk. We have circulated the updated constitution with clarity and ask for your input on what you, the body, sees and thinks on these topics. I ask you to contact Stephen Marois on any questions you may have. The other team members can help too if you like. I honestly believe that the changes are in accordance with scripture for roles and authority. And on closing of that, I'd like to close with a scripture is in Philippians chapter 2. Verses 13 to 15. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards a mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Thank you.
Thank you all for bearing testimony of what the Lord has been doing, and I hope that it helps you see what's been going on behind the scenes. Many of you have been involved in it, and it's been exciting to see and be a participant of it. May I encourage you to continue to give much prayer as we go through it. Behind me, you'll see a chart. This graph, this picture, was sent to the leadership many months before I started, and they were encouraged to share it with you along with others. I'm not sure if that occurred or not, but now as I'm wrapping up, I will show you a picture. This picture is a picture of what a transitional pastor does as they come into a church body and take a look. You'll see a dark line there where it kind of comes in and then curves back out. That is the typical interim pastor. That role would come in, they would keep the fences mended, they don't do a whole lot of changes, they preach, and then as the church is looking for a pastor, they move out. You'll see there as a transitional pastor, though, is we come in and then we start going down into the bigger circle. So you'll see pastoral care, you'll see preaching, you'll see administration, but you also see the relationship renewal piece working on there, congregational or organizational health, and then you'll see vision clarity. That has been the journey that we've been on for 19 months. That is what we've been working through. Lots have occurred, lots of things have occurred in that time. And we've been going through the life of Moses, the story of Moses. So if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to the book of Exodus. And we're going to bounce through a few chapters because really I haven't been doing an inductive study at all. It's just been more of a topic and hitting the main verses, but our main chapters. But I want us to go there. So if you have your Bibles, please go there. Moses' church body, as we saw last week, was the people of Israel. And the people of Israel in Exodus 1, 2, and 3, they were crying out to the Lord. They were saying, "Lord, save us. We're in bondage by the Egyptians. Please save us. Please save us." They were crying that out. And so God heard their prayers, and he sent Moses. And Moses shows up in the scene. Moses did not want to go. And we all know the story, and if you don't, may I encourage you to read the book of Exodus. As Moses tried to come up with many different reasons why not to go. William Bridges and Associates did a paper on transition. They give a really good definition on transition, but they also state very clearly that change is situational. Things like a death, things like losing a job, things like maybe sitting in a different place in the sanctuary than you normally sit. Relationships change. If you even noticed this morning, there was announcements shown during the offering time. Change. Trying to help all of us open up our bulletins and see the different announcements because there's lots of important things going on. But change is situational. And we will always have change. In fact, as you move forward and as a new pastor is being found and the Lord provides that couple and that man, change will occur. Transition, though, on the other hand, as we saw last week, as William points out, Bridges, that it occurs mentally in three phases. It's a three-phase mental process that each one of us goes through when we face change. We come into terms with change. Even with just myself, as I shared last week Sunday, having the surgery here on April the 7th, being laid up on bed, and I'm supposed to be a good boy and lay on bed. That's going to be tough for me to do for a number of weeks before I can even get up and move around. Change is situational. Transition happens mentally. And there's three phases that we go through. First, there's endings. And then there's this neutral zone as we wrestle things out. And then there's the new beginnings. We saw last week the endings are closure. And they occur at any time as we are on this journey. As you are on your personal journey, endings occur all the time. Some of the issues that are faced with closure, as we saw last week, are grieving loss. Having a retired pastor after 39 years. Forgiving offenses. Letting go of hurt. And holding on to what is good. Closure means closing the door on the past. And we quickly see that in Exodus chapter 5. When Moses shows up, the people have been praying, they've been crying out. Moses shows up, he goes to Pharaoh, he says in chapter 5, "Let my people go." And Moses says, "Not a chance." In fact, now they have to do the same brick quota, but they have to gather their own resources. And the people of Israel did not like this. And some of the foremen, they went to the Pharaoh, and they complained about it. And Pharaoh said, "Get back to work, you lazy Israelites." Well, they didn't like that. And you'll see in chapter 5 that they found Moses. And they said to Moses, "Moses, we did not have it this bad until you showed up. Now the Egyptians want to kill us." Closure. Closure also means opening the door to future. The plagues happen. The final plague of taking the firstborn son was enough to change Pharaoh's heart. And he let the people go. And so the people get to the Red Sea. Meanwhile, Pharaoh says, "What have I done?" And so he goes after the people of Israel. And you'll see that as you read through the chapters up to chapter 12. And you see as he's going through that, he comes to his senses. He pursues the Israelites. The Israelites see this great cloud of dust coming at them. And all they can see in front of them is the water, the sea. And they cry out against Moses, "You have no idea what you're doing. You led us out here to just die and to be killed." And then God showed in a marvelous way opening the doors to the future. He opens up the Red Sea. The Israelites cross on dry ground. The whole Egyptian army comes flying into this Red Sea, and God closes the waters. One of the things we saw last week, and one of the things that you've been noticing as you're going through this journey, is that unless people can make a real ending, they will be unable to make successful beginnings. And we see this by this story. Chapter 13, when they crossed the Red Sea, there was no going back. Then we entered into the neutral zone. And we enter into that, all of us, in different times. It's a time and a state of being in which all behaviors and attitudes die out. People go dormant for a while as they prepare to move on and move out in a new direction. And we do this in our mental process when we go through change. We have endings, okay, this is going to end. Then we go through the neutral zone and we weigh out all the different options and we start mentally talking to ourselves. Which is, by the way, is not bad. It's only when you start answering yourself, is what I've been told by my wife. Moses had to keep the Israelites, the people, in the neutral zone, in the wilderness, long enough for them to be fundamentally changed by the wilderness experience. They had an opportunity to go into the promised land. It was just around the corner. But when they sent in the spies, they saw bigger things than God. And they lost sight of God, and so they were stuck in the wilderness. And you see in chapter 16 of Exodus, as the people are wandering in the wilderness, as Moses is leading them there, new things are happening. They have to put their faith and trust in God. God provides for them manna and quail. In fact, while they're in the wilderness and they're getting their food dropped to them from the sky and up from the ground, their clothes never wore out. Then you come into chapter 19. Chapter 19, as the people are moving in the wilderness experience, they come to Mount Sinai. And the Ten Commandments. And as Moses is up there, the Lord is speaking to him. He gives them the Ten Commandments. Moses comes back down. The people of Israel lost sight again of God. And in 32 of that chapter, Exodus, you see that they made a golden calf. And it was something powerful here, because while Moses was up on the mountain, meeting with God, coming down to pass on to the people of Israel what God wanted them to be and do and live, they had made a golden calf. And Aaron, who had been following him, had been his leader with Moses, because Moses came up with the excuse that I can't talk, so Aaron was supposed to be the talker. But also Moses' sister went against him. And they built this golden calf. You see, every time we make change, we find ourselves in a confusing no man's land between the old way and the new way. It's important to note that as you go through your wilderness experience, and you'll go through it in life, you go through it as your kids grow up, you go through it when your kids leave, you go through it as your spouse maybe goes to the Lord in glory, that this wilderness experience can begin before we actually leave the old way. Because as soon as we decide to leave, as soon as we decided to take on, and you guys decided to take on a transitional pastor, we find the old way starting to lose hold on us. Starts losing its grip. You see, Moses couldn't get his people, the Israelites, into the promised land until the ones who had known Egypt had died. A whole generation had passed away. the old attitudes and behaviors that were appropriate to Egypt needed to die. And new attitudes and new behaviors needed to be generated. Or else, they would have just entered into Egypt, or pardon me, the Promised Land. It would have just looked like Egypt. And today, in churches, many changes prove to be new names for old behaviors and attitudes. And that's not what we wanted. And so we had a season, and they bared really good testimony up here of the process of prayer and how important that's been, and confession and forgiveness, reconciliation, what God has been doing, and it's all been God. But we had a season of sticky notes. And from those questions that were asked and your answers, you now have your new mission and vision and values and goals to achieve that mission. And that brings us to the final stage, which is new beginnings. New beginnings. Beginning over again with new energy, with a new sense of purpose, a new outlook, a new image of yourself. This is exciting. This is yours. It was your voices. The transitional team heard. They drew that up. Make sure you start memorizing your mission, your vision, your values. It's your new image. There's great excitement there. And your new mission and vision and values are your coffee filter that everything this church body wants to do goes through it. Because there's lots of great ideas. There's lots of good things to happen. But is this the time and the place for it? Is this where it needs to occur? Even your new polity, your bylaw changes that are out there, are enabled, they're to enable you to help you achieve your new mission and vision. Not to handcuff you, not to hold you hostage. You see, Moses, as you get to the end of Exodus, Moses had done his job. And when the Israelites had reached the Promised Land, just on the other side of Jordan, his task was done. His task was over. We know the story of Moses. He didn't get to enter the Promised Land because a new kind of leadership was needed. You are there. You have a new mission and vision. These people, and last Sunday as well, bear testimony of what the Lord is doing. You are ready to go forward. You have excitement. You are ready to cross. Your elders are ready to lead you across. They know their role. They understand their role. They understand that they are to be shepherds of the flock. And they're excited about this. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. But they want to serve you in a humble way and very sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. You see, many of our leaders today have been taught to measure themselves by their ability to keep things from falling apart and to fix them when they do. That's what they're taught in seminary. That's what they're taught in the marketplace. But Moses, as you read through the book of Moses, the Exodus, in the life of Moses, Moses knew and he showed us how to embrace the emptiness and the chaos of the neutral zone. Falling apart during a transition is essential. When you are in your neutral zone, falling apart is essential. It happens. It occurs. The same disintegration that's frightening actually produces the new energy, the identity, and the purpose that the church needs for the next chapter of life. We have a problem today that Moses did not have. The Israelites did not have to be told that they were not in Egypt anymore. They knew that. They knew while they were in the wilderness, on the desert, they knew where it was. This is our reality. We're not in Egypt anymore. Or that the promised land still lies ahead of them. You see, today, psychological wilderness created by change makes it difficult for you and I to understand and know where we're at. Colleen and I are going through that even now. Our house is rented out. We're down here. She enjoys working. Her mother is not doing well. Those are all the change situations we're in, and we're working through it transitionally. How do we stay? And then on top of that, now her husband's going to have surgery and be laid up, and he has to get rid of his dog because she doesn't want to walk him. So there's lots of transitioning happening. We need to be reminded and talk about transition and the neutral zone of the wilderness. Did Moses get it right as he went through there? Absolutely not. He served the best he could. He moved the people from an old way to a new way of thinking. We need to understand what it does to us and those around us and how to get through it. You see, when we don't understand it, we blame others for our pain. And we lose confidence to reach the goal. We'll never make it. William Bridges states this: today's wilderness is not a literal one, but a landscape of the heart and mind. Because of our heritage, we have viewed wilderness areas as territory waiting to be conquered and settlement. And whenever we want to get somewhere, we take the shortest route and the fastest convenience. It's taken us 19 months, just shy of 2 years. There could be more done. If any of you have kept your health report, I would encourage you to read that. That was given to you about 18 months back, 17 months ago. That was given to you based on the findings from your survey of what you said as people, of what needed to be looked at. And what you heard here today and what you heard last week Sunday about what God has been doing, how he's been addressing that. Even as Karen has shared, many of those things have gone back years and years. God will bless you with the new pastor. He will be different than me, though, just as I was different than Paul. And that's going to create change. And that's going to create transition. That's why Moses is such a valuable example for us. The Holy Spirit, through Moses, not only broke the bond of the past, but also conveyed the vision of the future. And Moses, along with the Spirit, helped the people through the wilderness that always comes between where we are and where we want to be. And some of you remember the charts that I showed and drew out from where we were here to where we wanted to go, and the valleys and ups and downs and the different rock courses that we would have to go through. There was many times, and you read the story of Moses, where Moses pleaded with God not to wipe out the Israelites when God had enough with them. And then there was times when Moses said, wipe them out. And God would say, no. You see that struggle. Seasons of pastoral change are windows of opportunity for the church to seek spiritual renewal. Increase health, focused vision and renewed mission. And as you see this chart here again that's up in front of you, we've dipped down and we've done the big circle below, and now I'm coming out. Transition is a season of renewal. The water waves, when you stand at the ocean, the wave that hits your feet and 30 seconds later the next wave that hits your feet, it's not the same water. And over 19 months, you have moved. You have moved a lot. God has been doing an powerful thing amongst you. I stated this when I began 19 months ago. I want to wrap it up. My ultimate objective was to hand off a healthier, spiritually renewed church to a new pastor who's been hired through a positive search process in dependence on the Holy Spirit for guidance. Your search team has been doing an incredible job. It has been neat to see them move together and work together. If you have any questions, please see Dan. He is the chair of that group. But they've been doing great work there. And may I encourage you to pray. And in your bulletin, you will see that there is a corporate prayer time coming up. Find that in your bulletins. Mark it in on your calendar. You'll be getting a call. You'll be encouraged to come. But it's a time, young and old, children as well, to pray for your new pastor. Pray that God will provide the man that he wants here, the couple that he wants for you. Follow your leaders. Follow your elders as they lead you on. And pray for them, encourage them, support them. I believe God has done all this. He's moved you through in a powerful way. Let me just pray for you. Gregory is up doing the kids, so there will be no closing song. So there's change. But I want to just pray for you. I'll have then Brad come up, and he will say a few words, and then he will close us off. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being our guide through this whole process. Lord, as you physically led the Israelites, fire at night, cloud by day, you have led us. You have moved in a powerful way. Lord, I just pray. I pray for the elders. Pray that you may help them lead in a powerful way. Lord, I pray for your body here with excitement, with new identity, with a new vision, with a new mission, with values. Lord, may there be excitement to see your work being done here in Pinoca and out in the country, Lord. Lord, I pray most of all that you will move in a powerful way, that you will provide the pastor that you want for this church body, and that this church body may love them and hold them up and care for them and respect them and pray for them. I just pray, Lord, and ask these things in your name. Amen.